Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show and a midweek bullet points. It occurred to me that we've talked a lot on this podcast and in the Facebook group for the show about how to manage in lockdown, whether that's adapting to working from home, suddenly becoming a teacher, being around your spouse, partner or family 24/7. Basically, we've all in our own ways had to learn to contend with a quite unusual set of circumstances. And right at the beginning of lockdown, or actually I think when lockdown was imminent, I did a podcast about how to transition from work to working from home and the mistakes I'd made when I went freelance 8 years ago that I didn't want you to make, therefore making your transition, hopefully, much smoother. The last couple of days have been my most challenging since lockdown began because I haven't been well. I had a migraine that lasted and really stopped me being able to do much more than shuffle from one soft furnishing to another for 2 days. Today I feel much better, but if you're a migraine sufferer, you'll know that even when you feel well again, it's amazing how you can still feel drained for a couple of days, even after the migraine itself has passed. So having that migraine really threw me for a loop because my whole structure, which I talked about in that first podcast, inevitably crumbled. And yesterday, being a Monday, I didn't get up and do my workout, which is how I like to start my Monday and my day anyway, whether it's going for a walk or doing one of my circuits. And I barely looked at the laptop or my phone because if I did, I just felt sick. In the afternoon, I did force myself to go outside for a walk in the park because it was actually one of the last beautiful days of the month. And also the forecast for the next week is for rain. And I thought, well, I know I'm not feeling brilliant, but I'd rather go out. And even if I get to the end of the road and turn back because I think I'm going to vom, better to have tried and failed than to have not tried at all. And I always do find that fresh air gives a little bit of respite with a migraine. But there we go. So the park that I walk in has loads of little paths that you can take. And there's one quite narrow path that normally people just walk, doesn't matter what direction, you know, if you're walking in both directions, everyone just walks past each other. But right now with social distancing, you just can't. But it's about 30 meters long. So if someone's on that path and you have to wait, it's very obvious that you're waiting for them. And you just wait and take your turn. Yesterday, the woman I waited for, when she came out at the end of the path, she said to me, "Isn't it so lovely that people are being so courteous and thoughtful of others? And isn't it really wonderful that everyone seems much happier and more relaxed?" It definitely made me think, and obviously there's a much bigger picture to this situation that isn't so positive. But as I carried on my walk, I started to think about that first podcast I did, what I had learned about working from home, and how we're all on a new learning curve right now in the lockdown. So it seemed a good time to ask the question, what are we learning from lockdown? Now, obviously, this is something I'd love to open up and discuss with you all in the Facebook group. The link to join is in the show notes, which can be found wherever it is that you are listening to, streaming, downloading, whatever it is you're doing. Wherever you're listening to it, that's where the show notes are. But for what it's worth, I thought I'd share the 5 things I've noticed / learned in lockdown and I feel are positives. The first one, I have a new understanding of what can be achieved in an hour. Now, in that original podcast, I talked about structuring your day and breaking it down into hour-long segments, preferably if you are able, moving from room to room so you don't feel stagnant. Now, I've lived in a studio before, so I know that you can't really do that in a studio, but you know, you get my point. Just moving around, just so changing the scenery up a bit. Like a lot of you, from what's been shared in the Facebook group, I was tidying, organizing, or spring cleaning a lot. But you have a limited number of those sorts of tasks that you can do before you end up running out, and then you can feel a bit lost. Reading was something that I always found indulgent because I should, in inverted commas, be doing something else. It felt like a luxury, even though I do a hell of a lot of reading for work because I have to. It's something I need to do. It's something I've always struggled to stop, sit down and do because it feels as though it sits at the bottom of any priority list. And I also still have that kind of PTSD from school where if you're sitting down doing nothing reading, a teacher's going to come in and say, "Why aren't you at such and such? Or why aren't you doing this?" But since lockdown, I have come to appreciate how valuable an hour of reading really is and how much value it adds not only to my day, but also to my work. And it stands to reason when you think about it. You learn when you read. So I guess now I appreciate, and I really don't want to forget, how useful those quiet hours sitting and reading are proving to be. Another way to spend an hour, which is lovely, but a little less productive than reading, is to revisit old albums. Now, being a woman in her 40s, I used to, as a kid, buy an album, or I used to steal a lot of my dad's, to be honest, and listen to it from start to finish. When I say steal, I borrowed, he knew where they were. I was as riveted then by the tape reels going around in the cassette player as I am now by a bingeable box set. And I would just focus on that and listen to the music for as long as the tape lasted, apart from when I had to turn it around to play part two or the second side. Now, many of the albums I listened to growing up were between 40 and 50 minutes. So actually listening to an album from start to finish while doing something, and full disclosure, I was listening to Beastie Boys' License to Ill when I was planning out this episode, has become a really lovely part of my day. It's nostalgic, it brightens up my day, and it's become a really lovely thing to do. So also on my list, if you're interested, for this week is Surfer Rosa by the Pixies, Come On Feel the Lemonheads by the Lemonheads, Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction, Shake Your Moneymaker by the Black Crowes, and Step by Step by New Kids on the Block, because why the hell not? I think the point I'm trying to make here is that I'm learning to value that my time doesn't need to be always spent pushing, doing, working, etc. for me to be productive. Don't get me wrong, I have bills to pay, and like a lot of people, the virus definitely impacted my work life, but I can only control what I can control. I've said it so many times on the podcast, but clearly even I keep forgetting my own advice. But sometimes if you loosen your grip on a goal, relax, actively stop stressing, then you can actually make more progress than if you're pushing really, really hard towards something. And I keep having to remind myself of that at the moment. The second thing, and this also concerns time, and not what can be achieved in an hour, but how quickly some tasks that seem laborious and annoying actually are, how quickly something that you can build up in your mind to being this big mammoth task that you have to do, how quickly they can be done. And a really good example of this is vacuuming. I'm not a big fan of it, but I hate a well-trodden carpet and a dusty floor. So vacuuming is an essential part of my day. And I'm just going to say this in my notes, it says hoovering, but my friend Jen's voice just came into my head, said Hoover's a brand name, it's vacuuming, which is true, in joke. Vacuum is the actual term, Hoover is a brand name, but it's a bit like, it's one of those things that became part of the vernacular. Anyway, it's one of those things you can easily say, ugh, I don't have time. But the truth is, having all this time has made it obvious these tasks don't take that long. To put this to the test, because I am that bitch, I actually timed myself hoovering my entire flat, which is two carpeted bedrooms, a wooden floored living room and kitchen. And it took me 6.5 minutes. Now, obviously, I had to change the settings on the vacuum cleaner. When I changed floorings, obviously, but I did a damn good job, but it was around 6 to 7 minutes. Now I know this, I can't unknow it. So it's going to be so much harder to do the old, I'll do it later when we are out of lockdown and time feels different again. The same is true for cleaning the bathroom. It's one of those tasks that I always put off, but then really enjoy the results when I've done it, because I'd like to go all in, you know, get the shower doors gleaming, get the mirrors gleaming, all of that, get the surfaces absolutely pristine. And again, I think I properly went to town on my bathroom at the weekend and it took 20 minutes. It feels like it should take about an hour, but it takes about 20 minutes. So there we go. The third thing I've noticed is doing it yourself or doing it less. And this is another one that centers around household chores, but I'm sorry, we're spending a lot more time at home, so it's obviously going to keep cropping up. But is anyone else doing less laundry? I've noticed I'm much more likely to let a washing pile build up than try to stay on top of everything with daily washes. I'm also doing a lot more washing up rather than stacking up the dishwasher. And maybe it's about a sense of achievement or the fact I only cook for one, so there's usually not a lot of washing up to do. But I quite enjoy finishing my dinner and washing everything up, drying it and putting it away before I wipe down the kitchen surfaces ready for my coffee making in the morning. These are the things I would never have even taken the time to enjoy or appreciate. But now they're a really nice way, particularly the washing up after food, to sort of end the day and then start relaxing. There we go. Maybe it's just me. We will have a discussion about this in the Facebook group though, please. The fourth thing I've noticed is feeling less rattled and distracted. Now, I heard something really interesting the other day on the news, and since lockdown, there have been a lot of changes, especially with regard to the environment. Pollution levels in big cities dropping dramatically, birds singing again, marine life returning to bodies of water they hadn't been seen in for years. And I heard that seismic activity has dropped significantly across the globe because there's less impact on the Earth's surface, fewer cars, less construction. Basically, by being locked down, we are rattling the surface of the Earth a lot less. And this made me think about how we are rattled and bumped on a daily basis, whether that's by people, responsibilities, alerts, whatever it might be, but just constantly being knocked, nudged, and poked. Now, I know a lot of people are experiencing anxiety for the first time or are experiencing anxiety in a way they haven't before. And that's understandable because, you know, pandemic. But I've been chatting to a lot of friends lately who have expressed that they actually, on the whole, feel calmer. Yes, the bigger picture is scary, but the daily pressures have changed, lifted, and reduced. In some cases, not for everyone. I completely understand that. And please don't think I'm being thoughtless. But a few of my friends have said they feel they have the space to be a lot more pragmatic and less reactive. And I'm curious whether you think that's the same for you. I can see both sides. Some people's loads of their burdens have really been added to. But for other people, not having constant, I don't know, a lot of people are finding that not being in an office has made them chill out a lot more because they can focus on their tasks in a much more linear way rather than thinking about other things that actually have turned out to not be as important. There we go. What do you think? As much as this whole situation has thrown up a whole raft of new stresses, I do feel as though it's allowed me and some of my friends to let go of others. And have you found that even if you feel as though you're doing a lot more and your burden has increased, do you feel that you've understood and let go of the things that maybe you were holding on to previously? And now you're just like, I just don't have time for that nonsense. It's not important to me anymore. I'm curious. Let's chat about it in the Facebook group. And finally, there is appreciation and enjoyment. Are you appreciating and enjoying things a little more than you used to? And by things, I mean, for example, something that you do every day that previously you do on autopilot, whether that's your beauty routine, brushing your teeth, showering, washing your hair. If you're a regular listener, you'll know that my approach to skincare is less pampering and more results driven. And while I do love a functional skincare regime, I've started taking a couple of minutes to apply body lotion and not just sort of apply it quickly, but massage in body lotion. And a couple of times a week, I'm using a body scrub. And rather than just do it really quickly, actually take a bit of time and try to do it properly. So not sort of like go to town on myself really vigorously with a salt scrub to try and get the best result, but actually just very slowly sort of try to do it the way that I know a massage therapist would do it or somebody in a salon would do it. And it's just obviously it's a much nicer experience than sort of, you know, potentially scratching yourself. I have a heightened appreciation for these sorts of treatments and have actually put my feet up with a hydrating face mask, something I often tell you, my most excellent listeners, to do, but never find the time to do myself. And I'm also giddy every day about finishing up yoga, which is how I, even on the weekends, but on Monday to Friday, I finish work, I do yoga, and then I cook. And I get giddy about finishing up yoga and going into the kitchen to cook. Does anyone else do this? I've become so besotted with following a recipe and producing a delicious meal, I can't even tell you. I've said it so many times, but I follow recipes from Ian Hay's 7-Day Basket, and I really enjoy the process of taking a load of raw ingredients and turning them into something delicious. Side note, I had a video consultation with Annabelle Kingsley from Philip Kingsley the other day about my hair loss. I think I might have said earlier in the year that I was going to ramp up what I was going to do to treat it and stop just using topical shampoos and conditioners and start actually investigating the more clinical stuff. And at the end of the consultation, during the consultation, I said I definitely felt as though the quality of my hair had improved over the last 6 months. I put it down. I mentioned the Dyson, which I've talked about on an IGTV, how because it's not as hot, I thought maybe my hair health had improved. But after going through all my notes and talking for over an hour, Annabelle actually said one of the reasons that I might have seen an improvement in the quality and the health of my hair might have been switching to cooking from fresh every day. So it turns out I have a lot to thank Ian's book for. And obviously, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, Emma, really? You're waiting till the end of the podcast to tell us about a hair loss consultation? Of course, I'll be sharing my experience with you. But if you have any specific questions, please DM me or email me. But I will be doing that in a whole separate episode because it was a really, really fascinating experience and I want to do it justice. I haven't had the treatment protocol that Annabelle has prescribed yet, But once I start it, I will begin to tell you a little bit about it, because there's no point me telling you about it now because I haven't tried it. But I can tell you the video consultation was really, really interesting. So whether you have any questions about this, about the things that you've noticed since lockdown, the learnings that you're going to try and take away, or have noticed, DM me on Instagram and Twitter where I'm at Emma Garnes, or email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. You know it's the favorite part of my day when I hear from you. And more so than washing up, more so than doing my yoga, and more so than rubbing myself raw with a salt scrub, my favorite part of my day is hearing from you. So please don't be shy about getting in touch. It's been so lovely, actually. So many of you have been chatting to me on DM and on email. I've definitely noticed that has increased since lockdown. Maybe that should have been 0.6, but I've definitely noticed that's increased since lockdown. So thank you so much for taking the time, whether it's taking the time to spend it with me on these shows, or taking the time to get in touch and share your thoughts about episodes, or to ask and request for episodes in the future, because I know a lot of you have asked for particular topics. And trust me, if you ask, I put them on a list and I try to make them happen. Thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to join that Facebook group. Once this show goes live, I will start a thread in the Facebook group about what you are all learning from lockdown. So please do join your fellow most excellent listeners in that group by finding the link in the show notes, which can be found wherever it is that you are streaming and downloading this episode, clicking the link, answering the questions, agreeing to the forum rules, and I will be there along with thousands of other listeners to welcome you with open arms and a Keanu GIF. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you on the next one.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.